think one of the neatest parts of youth camp is just being able to hear from you and hear the things that you guys are facing in your life. And so yesterday was actually a really enlightening afternoon for me. A group of you were just talking to me about this very topic, actually, and how you're struggling with managing time on social media and also realizing, is what I think you were saying to me, how much you are exposed to, even if you're not participating in certain things on social media. So that's the first thing that I would just raise, is the awareness of what social media is exposing us to, what voices we're listening to. I know Mr. Bile did a workshop yesterday, and it dealt with some of listening to other voices and what voices are we listening to. So we only have a limited capacity every day for how much time we have, what voices we listen to. And my challenge to myself is I'm quite active on social media, is thinking you are what you love. So when I'm on social media, what am I participating in? How many hours am I allowing it to take of my life? I think yesterday what I understood is that a lot of people go on TikTok or things like that just out of curiosity. There's maybe 2% of helpful things and 98% of what I would call banality, which is just uselessness, which would be just entertainment. So as we engage with social media, I don't know if it's realistic to say you should never engage with it, because I think there is a purpose for it if you use it right. The approach I've taken is to, one thing is just to be aware, first of all, of what I'm consuming. So what am I consuming? What voices am I listening to? And then second, to curate. I don't know if you know what curate means in social media, but customize your feed. If you're using social media, use it to your advantage. So I follow really helpful accounts, whether that be like the Gospel Coalition or Alisa Childers, or there's just really good resources out there. And I curate my feed. That's on Instagram and on Facebook, I would say. I'm not on TikTok because I don't find any redeeming use of it. It's just, again, that banality. So, and then also when I'm on social media, I use it to create, not to just consume. So I think if you think about your social media use this morning, are you creating, consuming, and what are both of those things doing to you? And if we're called to be salt and light in the world, what are we creating? What voice are we? Are we like one of those voices that was around the edge of the room distracting people from the direction that they need to go? Are we causing people to look at us? Or are we actual salt and light? And then the last thing I would say is the cumulative effect. There is a cumulative effect to what we're exposed to. And I think that's what some of you were wrestling with yesterday, just you're putting so many things before your eyes, so many things to wrestle with that are actually distracting you from the real race that you're called to live. So I think social media can be used wisely, but it needs to be done with an intention of what you're using it for. And what you are, when you are creating things, what is your effect on other people as well?
Thank you. So the question impact our view to ourselves and the walk to the Lord. So there are so many statements online, and they all have different worldview. What is a worldview? A worldview help us to interpret a thing. So by God's grace, we may can have the same statement with some non-Christians, like we need love our body. It's true. But what their worldview? They can confuse you. They may say each of us is independent, or they will say no one care about you, so you have to care about yourself and you love your body. So under that environment, you may be misled by them. But we know Bible is our authority. So Christianity is our worldview. So we interpret as the body is God given to us. So we need to care for it. And moreover, different worldview will have different solutions. So for the world, they will say, okay, you should love your body and just be selfish, just love yourself, do not care about others. But for our Christian, we say we love our body so that we can serve the Lord better and we can love others better. So there's so many different statements that have hidden worldview that if you do not have very sensitive discernment, then you are very easy to be misled. So for me, I think I'll read a verse on Colossians chapter 2:8. Be well, lest any man spoil you from through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, as Christian, we need to have this discernment, as we heard before by Dr. Barrett. We need to have this discernment to whatever is shown on the social media. And for Carol, you said like the TikTok. I download one time for the American version. There are two versions. There are Chinese version too. So I would definitely delete that. So when I download it, the content on that is so inappropriate. So I would not download it again. So for me, like for the Chinese version, I would sometimes learn some cooking there. They're very healthy part on that. But I do think, yeah, TikTok is not healthy. Yeah, thank you.
The struggle with sin is unrelenting. You will always have a struggle with sin until you die. What you want to do is you want to make sure that when you are struggling with sin, that you go to the source of help. And the source of help is God, like we saw last night with Dr. Bilkis's talk on keeping your eye on Jesus. Look straight forward. Do not go to the left. Do not go to the right, because as he also said, the ditch is twice as long as the road is, and you can either be weaving to one side or weaving to the other side. So it's so important to be in the Word. In fact, even Proverbs. Proverbs is a wonderful book to just read two or three of them, meditate on them for a few minutes, pray about it, come back to it again during the day. We're all tend to be looking at our phones, seeing what message came in. I would recommend that you try to just look at your phones for 5 minutes, maybe once every 2 or 3 hours.
When I was thinking about this question, I was thinking how if you truly thought you weren't saved just because you struggle with sin,
then you are either deceiving yourself and you're not a Christian, or you're already dead in heaven. Because the battle against sin will last your whole life, your whole Christian life. And don't be discouraged in the battle. We have the victory. The victory is promised. It is certain. And even if you are struggling from year to year with the same sins, the fact that you are struggling shows that you are alive. Dead people don't struggle. And if you're wondering, if I struggle with sin, how can I be a believer? Am I a believer, even with sin in my life? Then the one thing that comforted me very often when I was young is, okay, maybe I'm not. Maybe I've never begun the walk of life. Maybe I've never trusted in Christ for the first time. And my comfort and encouragement to you is, then just go again. I have little ones at home, and if they were to say, Mom, I'm hungry, may I have a snack? I don't go to them and say, turn around and say, no, here's a poisonous snake. I delight to hear them ask me, and so does the Heavenly Father. He wants to hear you ask. So in your struggle against sin and your struggle to know if the Lord has worked in you or not, just go again and again and again. And that is what the life of faith is. It's just going again and again with the same sins. Yes, the same sins you committed yesterday and last year and maybe a decade ago. But that is the mark of a believer, that we take our sins. We don't despair. We don't say, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, have this sin my life long. He does give the victory, and he does promise his grace to uphold you in the fight.
I was just thinking also that the Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. So when you feel weak, pray to God. Ask him to help. And when you're tempted to sin, run away from the sin. Don't stay where you are. Move and pray. Because when we think that we are strong, that's the exact time when the devil comes and attacks us.
I think this is, again, relates to the question that we just had. We often struggle with being in the world. And I think it's helpful to remember, what is God's purpose for us to be in the world if we are his, if we are followers of him? In John 17, Jesus is praying for those of us who are followers of him. He's praying to the Father. And if you look in that prayer, he prays. He says, I don't desire that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So that implies that there's a purpose. There's a purpose for us to be in the world. And it's not just to isolate ourselves and get through it until we get to heaven. Actually, God has a purpose for his followers, for his people in the world. We are to engage the world. Think, what does it mean, though, to be not of the world? It means we share different priorities. We have a different purpose. The way we're walking through the same place, if you remember in Pilgrim's Progress Vanity Fair, everybody there was busy in the same space as Christian and faithful, but they had a very different purpose. They had a very different outlook. They were governed by completely different priorities. So if you are Christ, Christ has claimed you. And your life here is to be his witness, his light in the world. So we don't want to shrink back from the world. We need to actively engage. There is a purpose. And at the same time, be aware of our own hearts. We can very quickly take on the attitudes and the priorities of the world. And I would argue in my own life, I've seen the struggle with this is by consuming the same things that the world does, like what Mr. Daniel talked about, their worldview. And if we are constantly absorbing music and the social media and entertainment of the world, we will start to think the same things are funny that the world finds funny, that the same things are valuable that the world finds valuable. So it's without the word of God to guide our feet, we will become like the world. We'll become lukewarm Christians. So my encouragement to you and to myself, because this is a lifelong posture, is that we are not our own, but belong to our faithful Savior. And how is that working out in my life? Does it look like I belong to the world, or does it look like I belong to Christ?
Just to add to that, what is your motive? What is your motive for living? Kara touched on that. We are to honor and glorify God. That's what we were created for, and that is what makes us most happy. Without honoring God, without loving our neighbors, ourselves, we are not completely filled. And I think that that's something that you need to be processing all day long. Am I thinking the way God wants me to think, or am I thinking the way the world wants me to think?
One of the fruits of the Spirit is humility. And if you are walking with the Lord, we need that characteristic of humility. And the reason I bring up humility in connection with mentoring is that if we are humble, we realize that we don't have all the answers. And that we need wisdom from those who have walked the Christian walk and have learned life lessons from God's Word and from other Christians before them. And so if you are humble and desire to be humble and to be taught and to have a teachable spirit, then I highly recommend mentoring. In mentoring, it's confessing that I don't always have the answers and that I need guidance in life. And in different situations where I've been involved with mentoring, it's been such a beautiful relationship. So I would, in terms of looking for qualities of somebody who can mentor you, look at their walk. Are they walking with the Lord? Are they someone who you want to be like? Someone who reminds you of Christ? And I'm sure every mature Christian would say, if you ask them, can you mentor me? Can you walk down life with me? Might not use those words, that I'm sure they'd be happy and join you in prayer. But it requires being open. You can't ask for a mentor and not be willing to be taught or not being willing to share some of your struggles. And I'm thinking particularly as you grow older, also even in dating relationships, particularly before marriage, because hopefully in marriage you are accountable to each other, and that's a beautiful thing. But accountability partners, sometimes they're called, finding someone else who is a mature Christian who can share in your, just saying what you struggle with. It can take a very formal aspect to it, where you might meet with them every month, you might go with them every week, you might discuss certain topics that you might particularly be struggling with, or it might just be someone in your church who you admire and you go to and say, hey, I have a question, can you help me with this, or can you pray for something for me? And sometimes the benefit of finding someone other than your parents is that you might be more open to talk with them about things. It might be your parent. If your parent's your mentor, that's a beautiful thing. Don't overlook that.
Thank you. So I will start from the word mentor. So mentor is originally from a Greek mythology, wise advisor. So we can use it in a biblical term. We need a wise advisor. We need a wise advisor to lead us to Christ. Many times we are very weak, so there should be someone can help us, to guide us. So I will read Proverbs 13:20. He that walk through with wise men shall be wise. So I think it's very important for us, each of us, to find a mentor. I agree that like parents are our very good mentor. But sometimes maybe when you have some issues with your parents, like you have some family relationship problems, then I think you may have another mentor, like your pastor, elders, and deacons. So he will talk with you, he will lead you to the Christ, and he may be the mediator between you and your parents to talk to your parents about that. So it's very important. And for the most important character for mentor, I think that person, she or he, must be a person who is standing on the word of God firmly. This is the basic one. And other character will be wiser than you, older, have more life experience. And another important factor is he or she is like not that busy that you can meet him or her weekly or every 2 weeks. What I mean is you need to have a regular time. It's not, okay, when I think about him, I go to him. But I think it's healthier to find, like, to set a regular time. Yes. Like, for me, like, my mentor is Pastor Kevin Hoven. So we meet every 2 weeks. And most of the time we share about the life, some daily life. And many times when I was sad, when I have backsliding, I talk to him. So he would pray for me. He would use scripture to counsel me. He would comfort me. And sometimes he would rebuke me. It's good. Like Doc Bilker said yesterday, like correctness. Someone should correct you. So mentor is very important for your spiritual life. Thank you.
Can I add something there? One thing I forgot to say, and I want to challenge especially the older ones here that have been walking with the Lord for a few years. To be a vibrant Christian, you need to be pouring into the life of others. So I challenge you to be mentors to those below you or around you. Maybe it's younger siblings, maybe it's cousins, maybe it's people in this camp right here, that you don't realize the impact of your words to those just a few years, or your peers, those a few years under you. Great impact that the Lord can use you in their lives. So that's just my challenge.
May I add a practical tip? I've actually, some of the most successful mentoring that I have seen has been young girls asking busy moms, and the way that they do that is they say, can I come over to your house maybe on Thursday afternoons or evenings and just come and help you? And they come and they work alongside the young mom, preparing dinner, taking care of the kids. And you would be really surprised at how much friendship forms in that. And there's just a natural, you're there and you're helping, but there is just a trust and a relationship grows. And it's, I would call it maybe informal mentoring. I mean, there's definitely intention to it, but I have seen some of the most successful mentoring done in that type of a setup. And it's a very doable thing for a godly, young, busy mom. So I just encourage you to look for that as well.
Thank you for the question. So I will answer this in two ways, negatively and positively. So negatively, we were created in the image of God, in holiness, knowledge, and righteousness. But the fact is, because of sin, the image is distorted. So because of this, we need hate sin, because of sin, our image is distorted. So negatively, we need hate sin. And positively, if you are Christian, if you are saved, our image has renewed. So it should stir up our heart to give us gratitude to live for Christ. Because of Christ, our image has been renewed. As Christian, we are representative of Christ. Christ lives in us. So what we did, what we do, what we think is reflecting Christ. So when we, I hope each of us, when we meditate on this, the image of God, use this two different way, negative way and positive way, to live for Him and hate sin. That's my answer. Thank you.
I think a lot of times we think of sanctification as a very dreary process. And I've come to find out that actually this invitation that Daniel just talked about, this we have a renewed image in Christ if we're born again, is actually the greatest invitation of our life. I've heard one speaker say that we are actually becoming more human as God restores us from this marring from the fall and bringing us to further life. So this is this re-imaging. What is God making us to be? In the Bible, He talks about forming. He talks about being the potter, about transforming us. It's this process, this picture that something is constantly changing to become what we are supposed to be. What is He making us into? He's re-imaging us into the image of Christ. And this is exciting. And it's good to keep in mind when you go through things that you think you could never go through, when you go through really difficult seasons in your life, remembering that this is not meant to destroy you, but actually to shape you and to bring you life, fullness of life in Christ.
I would just like to add that this is exciting, but it's also freeing. The freedom that you have in Christ, being bound to Him, is so much better than being a slave to sin. Because when you're a slave to sin, when you are addicted to something, you've got to have it. You do not feel any better after you have participated in this sin. You feel worse. But yet you have the desire to go back to it again. And the more you go back to it, the worse you feel. And you're a slave. And God wants to free us from that slavery. So like Kara was saying, this is freedom. Prayer is very difficult, and it doesn't seem to get easier, because as the older that you get, the more you realize that you tend to form certain patterns. I have always felt that I was always asking God for more than I was thanking Him for. I was also asking Him for more than I was confessing. And for me, the little acronym acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, to keep that in mind has helped me. What has also has helped me is to pray continually, pray all day long, maybe only for 10 seconds or 5 seconds. Because God is there and God wants to hear from us. So realize that you don't have to do this formal thing, but being in communion with God is a constant minute-by-minute process.
As we sang the psalters before we came up here, I was praying as we sing, and I often find that helps me. Sometimes I really don't have enough words to pray. I'm very tired, or my mind is distracted. So putting the word in front of me, putting the psalms, singing the psalters, and praying those things as I'm singing. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth. Lord, would you please teach me your way? I'm tired this morning. Give me understanding. I'm praying as I'm singing. And I also find that as I'm reading the Bible, you should be daily in the word. And as I'm reading, I'm asking the Lord, would you open my mind and my heart to what's before me? What am I supposed to be seeing about you in this chapter? How is that supposed to change my life? What am I, who around me am I supposed to be impacting or reaching out to or praying for? And just that has given me a lot more substance for prayer. I've also really benefited. I don't know if you follow challies.com. It's Tim Challies has a blog and or a website, and he posts almost weekly pastoral prayers. And I've actually printed them out. Maybe it sounds a little funny, but sometimes I will, in my own prayers, will use one of those and pray through it. And it gives me food for thought to pray on, and I often go off into my own prayers. So if you find yourself dry, not knowing what to pray for, use scripture, the songs, and then look for good prayers that stimulate more prayer in your life.
Two things. One is when I always was distracted in prayers, and when someone, an older Christian, once recommended to write out your prayers, I've been doing it ever since, and it's a tremendous blessing. So I have journals, and I always put the date on the top, and I actually write out my prayers. That way I'm not, I am still distracted while writing, but at least it forces me with a pen to keep my thoughts together. So that's been one blessing in my life. The second one that I want to mention is remembering that we're coming before a person. God is real, and God is a person. Kara is one of my good friends. If I were to come to Kara and always say, Kara, can you give me this? Kara, can you give me that? Kara, I need this. Kara, I need this. And never come in, and that's all she hears from me, what would we think of that friendship? Because prayer is a conversation. And if we're always coming with, please this, please that, can I have this, I need this. Now, that is important. That is prayer. But that's not remembering the other parts of prayer. And prayer is a conversation with God. So remembering who we come before is very helpful. That I want to tell him what's on my heart. Yes, I am bringing my needs before him, but I'm also telling him that I love him. I'm telling him about how great and wonderful I think he is. And it's something I have to keep reminding myself of that, because often I look at my prayer lives, my prayer list, and I'm thinking, this looks like a Christmas wish list. And that's, yes, it is a part of prayer to ask, and he delights to hear us ask. But remember, prayer is more than that. Prayer is a conversation.
So it's a big challenge for practicing prayer. Bible tells us, like, pray without ceasing, and I feel it's harder to start to pray. So to cultivate a prayer life, we need to start. So for me, I think we need to set a time and do it. Just one sentence, set a time and do it. In the beginning, you may set a time in the morning before you, after you wake up, and before the bedtime, set a time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and do it. So you may think it's so easy, but it's very hard, because many times, you know, doing exercise is good for your health, but you do not do it. You know, go to bed regularly, like do not go to bed after 12. You know these, but you do not do it. So me either, sometimes very, very hard. So we know a lot of stuff is very good, but we just not take a first step to do it. So my advice is just set a time and do it. And when you do it, you will taste the sweetness in the prayer.
Regularly.
So, I don't have some specific books because I feel like as new believer, we know what's our weakness. So I just recommend some we can read from some, begin from some small practical books. Like if you don't know how to pray, then you find a small book like Matthew Henry's A Method for Prayer teaches you how to pray. And if you have some other weakness in different aspect, you can check out some very small books, not that very thick one. And if you have like a very fervent heart to want to learn about theology, maybe you can read Calvin's. Yeah, I think it's good. It's devotional and practical. And for me, my first book is Timothy Keller's like Counterfeit Gods when I was in maybe 10 years ago, I think, or 7. Because that time, my weakness is I love the world so much. There's so many idolatry in my life, so I choose to that book as my first one.
Besides reading the Bible, we need to find books that will send us back to the Bible. And one of my recommendations of my loves that have still my love, my favorite book to read are expository books. And maybe one of the first expository books, the first expository book that I read was when I was about 12, Ryle's Expository Thoughts in the Gospel. And if you're older than 12, you for sure can understand it. Just goes through the Gospels in a very verse-by-verse format, and I learned so much from him. And it'll keep you back in the Word.
For a book, I would recommend, this is what I want, I guess I'm just telling you what I've used. There's a book called The Gospel Primer, and I'm not recalling the author right now, but it is a very well-worn book that I've carried with me in my purse many years. And what it is basically repeating the truths of the gospel back to yourself during the day, short little excerpts, and I've used that many, many days. So I'd really recommend that, and it's really retrained my mind to be more gospel-minded and corrected a lot of my thinking. I would also recommend, a lot of girls here might know this, the Into the Word podcast by Paul Carter. Something like that, it basically brings you through chapters of scriptures and basically will give you some of those same expositional thoughts. And then what was the last thing I was going to recommend? Maybe I'll think of it after Dr. Fossey.
I think the author of the Gospel Primer is Vincent.
Milton Vincent.
Milton Vincent. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And going back to scripture, I would say probably my favorite books of the Bible are Genesis and also the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John tells you the heart of God. And it's very good to read this. And as Kara was also saying, and Mary, that you ask God to show you what he wants you to see in each one of these stories. And they are powerful. And when you look at Genesis, you look at how God created everything and also how everything can go wrong. There's so much family dysfunction. There's so much that you can learn with going through Genesis on how to live and how not to live. Dear Lord, we come to you almost at the end of this camp, mindful of our human frailty, but also very mindful of your great gift of love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are any here who do not know you, we pray, Lord, that they would pray against themselves, that they would come to you, be honest before you, and even say, Lord, I have no desire, but please change my desires. Lord, work in my heart to love you and to love others as myself. For this is true freedom. And what the world promises, the world never delivers. The world always comes up short and then is adding another thing or another 10 things for us to get into, which is total diversion, because we were created to love you above all and our neighbor as ourself. Lord, show us where we are not doing that. Convict us and lead us to yourself, that we would follow you and that we would do so completely. Lord, remember us in mercy. This we pray for Jesus' sake only. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much to the panelists. A couple things by way of housekeeping items. We are going to be fast approaching the end of camp, and we need to just get an idea now. Climbing wall people, if you're signed up for climbing wall at 10:30, please remember to be over there at that time. But there is an opening for the zip line, and no one is currently signed up for that. So if there is not an interest in that, the people here at the camp don't want to spend time sitting there if no one signed up. So is there an interest? Show of hands, please. Okay, so there's six. I'm not sure how many people can be at that at a time. Okay. All right. We'll tell Beth that there is an interest. Okay. So the free time that is now going to be available, 10:30 to noon, is really the time that we're going to do some of those organized activities. You now have half hour. If you want to.